Wow, good morning. Every time we start a new series, it feels like, all right, we're coming together again, and there's sort of like this new beginning. So today is a beginning of a prosperity series, and it made me reflect back on some of my own prosperity journey, and particularly this story that I want to share with you, which is when I was, I don't know, about 7 years old. From then on, I had this idea of this magical land of California that I wanted to go to, and someday I wanted to live there. I lived in outside of Detroit, and then my family lived outside of Chicago after that. And lovely places, but there was something I couldn't have put a word on it, but just some kind of pull. So when I was 22 and graduated from college, I headed right to California. But then I got homesick after about a year, and I went back. And about 10 years ago, the nudge was like strong. You know the feeling? Like you get that inner, and it's like, okay, now's the time, now's the time, now's the time, go, you know. So I told Brenly, my wife, who was my partner at the time, and she got on board right away with the idea. And so we just began to sit with it and wonder about it and ask questions. And it was about that time that I noticed a book on my bookshelf that had been sitting there for 5 years. I'd never opened it before. I received it in the mail free. And suddenly my eyes just kept going to that book, going to that book. I could not take my eyes off of it. You ever have this experience? So obviously I had to go and open it up. And it's a book called Ask and It Is Given by Esther and Jerry Hicks, which was the perfect guidebook for where we were at that time in co-creating something new. And so it laid out all these different prosperity exercises and ways to expand your horizons, and we started doing some of those. Started just trying things on. And then there was the question of, okay, where in California? I knew I wanted to be along the coast somewhere. And so we just, you know, opened up that big map of California. There's so many options, right? It's a very big state. And finally, we honed in on the area around Santa Barbara. That looked like it was pretty nice, you know? One of the things Brenly noted was it said weather, and it said beautiful 365 days a year. So we said, well, let's go on vacation there. So we took a vacation and we did a little visioning, but mostly we just stayed open and enjoyed our time there. On the last night was our final hurrah, and so we booked this sunset cruise. And the boat was moving toward the sunset, there was this beautiful golden sunset. And then, to our delightful surprise, the boat turned around, and on the opposite side was this amazing bright harvest kind of moon coming up. At the same time, it's like, when does that happen? So then the boat turns another way and heads to the harbor, and in that sort of intermingled sunset moonrise light, a pod of dolphins jumps in front of the boat. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up, right? And so we looked at each other and went, Santa Barbara. And that was it. That was it. So we went home, and I decided to list our house for sale by owner. And I just put this little Facebook ad together and posted it on my own page. And a friend called in about 5 minutes. And she said, you know, I was sitting here thinking, I want to buy a house, and I want a house like Kristen's. And then up popped your ad in my feed. So, are you really selling your house? I said, yeah. She's like, I think I want to buy it. I was like, great. So she did. This is how this works, right? When we get in that flow. And so then we came, and you know, sort of all these unknowns. Where are we going to work? Where are we going to live? And the next day, Brenly got a call with a job offer. It was a job that she ended up really loving. And so, needless to say, we were pretty excited and feeling very prosperous on our first entry into California, and still are, by the way. So what do you dream of? What is your dream, that thing that sort of nudges you, knocks on your heart every so often? Maybe there's something repetitive that comes around every so often. Maybe there's 20-year stretches in between. But often there is something that sort of is giving it, and maybe you've already realized it all, and you're like, oh, nope, I'm done. I've done all my dreams. I've fulfilled everything I could possibly want in life. But even as we come into the sunsets of our lives, there's always something, right? There's always something new that we can aspire to, whether big or small changes in our lives. And it's that support that is there for us. And it is a part of our prosperity because we naturally always want to be expanding and becoming, right? Becoming all that we have come here to be. So it's all part of it. So asking ourselves, what am I guided to do? What is it that I feel is a part of me or a dream or desire that is up for me? There's this wonderful scripture that answers all those questions that book is based on, and it goes like this. Ask and it is given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open for you. And I love that the scripture has a little inclusive tag that says, for everyone who asks, it will be given. For everyone who seeks, they will find. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. This is available to all of us, and that's all we need to do. Simple, right? Faith is a foundation upon which we build our lives and our prosperity grows from there. It's a place that supports the manifestation of our dreams and our desires. It's the place from which we can erect the strong aspects of prosperity that I'm calling in this series the four pillars of prosperity: vision and gratitude, generosity, and forgiveness. But it is on that foundation that we first need to build in order for the house to be strong, right? In order for the dwelling of prosperity to be a place that we can really thrive and grow and step into our dreams. And so it's that faithful part, that part that helps us build a robust and sustainable prosperity that we want to talk about today, laying that foundation. Prosperity, just for a moment to talk about that, it is financial freedom, and it is so much more, right? Prosperity is our love in our lives, our connection, our relationships, the joy, the fulfillment, the creativity that flows through our lives. All of that is an experience of our prosperity, of our abundant truth of who we are. And faith is a, to me, the way that I like to define it, is a knowing in my heart. Faith is a knowing in our hearts. It's a sense of, I just know that. I don't have to prove it or explain it necessarily. There's just a knowing. It's one of those kind of convictions and sense of confidence that we have. And, you know, there may be some things that we know in our hearts that are like that are really strong, and some things that are sort of in process, you know. There are days we know it, and other days maybe not so much. But what do you know? Let's start there. What do you know? What do you just simply know beyond a shadow of a doubt? I mean, it can be as simple as things like, I'm alive, right? I'm alive. I'm breathing. I'm here. I'm on earth. This is, you know, my life right now. So this is something we know, right? It's not up for question for ourselves. I'm breathing in this moment. And then there might be some things that are more nuanced, like the things you care about. These are the things I care about, and it might change over time, but there are probably some things that you really deeply care about that are convictions or sense of faith that you have, a real strong belief in these things, something you trust. Maybe it's things that you value in your heart, or perhaps it's a sense of something that you love. You know, that I love this, and you fill in the blanks, or my life is better when. I know that my life is better when I follow the guidance of Spirit. I know that my life is better when I stay connected to that feeling, that everything flows better for me when I stay in that kind of space, when I visit that space so that the connection and the familiarity is there, and that when I do get nudges, I follow them. So I don't know about you, if that's true for you, or maybe something else is true for you, but taking that into your meditation time or journaling time and saying, what is it that when my life is better then? When is my life better? My life is better when? And then allow yourself to really ground in that. This is how we build our faith, is starting from the places where we feel strong, the places where we have a real sense of, I know this stuff. And then it's the other parts that are like, of still in process, right? Anybody have some of those that you're still working on? Yeah, of course. So we start with these things that we know because there is a feeling there, right? So let's say, for example, I know that there is a power and a presence in my life, and I know that that power and that presence is a source of inspiration, a source of guidance, a source of aspiration, a source of support. So sometimes we really know that, and other times, maybe not so much, right? So it's what happens when we know it? We feel it, right? We feel a sense of connection. We feel a sense of connection with the divine, and so we have a knowing that it is there, that that presence is there with us, that that power is something we can draw on. And how do we get more of that feeling is through the practice of that connection, the development of that relationship, the ease and comfort with which we get to know that familiar voice, that familiar intuition that comes, that knowing. So for the areas then maybe that we aren't as clear on, like say, for example, we hear and we know and we've heard about this idea that we can co-create with spirit, right? We can co-create our lives and anything in our lives. That's our third principle. I co-create my life with spirit. And so sometimes we might feel like, oh yeah, that's for sure. I have these things that I can do and participate in and to make it so that my desires are one with the divine's desires. There's not the separation of God's will and my will, that these things line up and I'm moving together with the spirit to co-create my life. And so if there are times maybe that we aren't fully in that, we might begin to doubt. We might begin to wonder, is that really true though? We might begin to meddle. We might begin to complicate the flow, right? Not so much just let go and let God and let it flow through our lives. So one, we can strengthen this relationship so that it is clearer for us is to dialogue with spirit. You know, find the ways that you feel like you can really, maybe it's talking out loud, maybe it's journaling, maybe it's inquiry and meditation. Recently, I was taking a hike, and I came to this surprise. I had never been on that trail, so I came to this big, surprising, enormous redwood tree that just drew me immediately. I needed to go to that tree. And there was an opening that, you know, I could just walk right in. There was a nice big opening. It looked like the tree had maybe suffered some fire, but it still stood really strong and ancient. You know these trees around here, right? It's like you just tell that there is just a wisdom there. And so I felt invited into the tree, and pretty soon I was sitting, and then it was big enough I could completely lie down inside the tree. And there were little places the light was coming in. And I was just, you know, kind of began to talk out loud to the divine as this tree that surrounded me and towered over me, and began to ask questions about, you know, kind of where I've felt guided lately and sort of checking in. Is this still the right direction? Am I still on the right track? And I received answers immediately and clarity and validation. This is a place where I get answers. I tend to get my answers in nature. So the question for you is, where do you get your answers? Where tends to be the place that you are when you feel that spirit is speaking to you, that you are getting clarity, or you getting validation or reassurance? So you might be a particular kind of place or area that you go to, that, or it might be in the activity of something. So maybe for you, it's, oh, I always get my answers when I'm out for a run, or I'm dancing, or I'm writing, or I'm singing, or I'm creating, whatever it may be for you, gardening, whatever that is, do that, open to that. And the way is made easier and more effortless for us in knowing what is ours and then getting busy and building that faithful foundation. You know, sometimes we just come to the place where we really need to work on the things where our faith feels thin, so to speak. And one of my favorite biblical stories that really speaks about this is the one where the man has a child, a son, who is, the way he describes it, they don't say this at the time, but the way he describes it sounds like he's having epileptic seizures and that he's been having these all of his childhood. And it's very scary because he'll roll into the fire and the dad doesn't know what to do. And so he comes to the disciples and he asks for healing. And they're trying, but they're just not able to do it. And Jesus comes along, and the man says, you know, he tells him all the details of what his son goes through. And you can just tell this man loves his son so much. You know, he cares so deeply for him. And he wants nothing more than for his son to be healed. And so he says to Jesus, if there's anything you can do, I mean, if there's any way you can help him. And Jesus goes, if doesn't belong in this sentence, right? If does not help us when we want to heal something completely. We have to move out of if and say, yes, absolutely, this can be done. And he explains very briefly, he says, all things can be done for those that believe. All things can be done for those who can step in to their faith and stand in that place beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know this in my heart. I know it can be done. I don't need to know how, but I know it can be done. And so it's that place. And the man, this is why I love this story so much, the man says, I believe, help my unbelief. I feel like that's like what I live. I know, isn't that just the journey, isn't it? I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me get to that place so that I can build that stronger foundation. Help me get to that place so I can stand in that place and I can prosper from there. I can express from there. I can do and be the things that I am called to do and be from a place of knowing, from a place of strength, from a place of divine flow. That's really what was happening there. And so what do we need to do to help us with our unbelief? We can just look at some of our tendencies, right, that kind of get us off course. If you tend to worry a lot about something that hasn't happened, anybody do that? Because worry is that, right? It's worry is a casting into the future of the what ifs, right? And the imaginings of, you know, oh, it's going to be like this, or the doctor said, or this is how it's going to look and how horrible, or what if this happens? And then if that happens, what if this happens? And then, you know the game. I don't need to go here, right? We all know this game really well. And so it's just noticing those tendencies, noticing maybe the places we tend to carry burdens that are not ours, noticing perhaps the places that we want to control the outcomes of things. And in all of those, if we can just kind of loosen our grip a little bit and let go and allow the truth that is here, then we can come into that place where we feel centered and strengthened and prospered, really, so to speak. It might be something where you believe in something. You say, well, I really believe in oneness. I really believe in equality and sort of the intellectual belief. But then you get out into the world and you find yourself bumping up against your own prejudices and judgments and, you know, rough places, right? So we just notice that these are our unbeliefs. These are the places where we are just bumping up against that place, like the man yelling out, help me with my unbelief. And then the help comes. Ask and it is given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. It's a promise that comes true every time we move our feet, every time we allow ourselves to do so. Do you know that the size of a mustard seed, anybody ever see the size of a mustard seed? It is very, 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 very tiny. I mean, it looks like a grain of sand, right? And Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, this teeny tiny thing that you can hardly see, you can move a mountain. You can say to this mountain, move, and it will move from here to there. And so what is that mountain, that obstacle, that trouble, that thing that is in our life that we want to move? And usually most of the movement is happening right here, right? It's the moving the thing in our minds that is blocking the way to our good. It's moving the lack and the limitation from our minds. It's moving the places that say, I can't, or there's not enough, or if only, or never, or whatever it is that stands in our way. It's moving that mountain. And it's just with the tiniest grain of the mustard seed of faith that we can move it. It's the big stuff in our lives that we say, oh, I don't know how I'm ever going to deal with this. But when we stand in that place of faith and conviction and a sense of knowing in our hearts, we can speak from that place of authority, from that power of renunciation that says, move, and it will move. That's what he's talking about. That's what is meant by that passage. So is the mountain real or is the mountain imagined? That is always helpful to take a look at. You know, when we announced that we were moving to California, people came with all kinds of their own mountains of fear to tell us about, right? Do you know about the cost of living in California? Yes, we do. What are you going to do for work? How are you going to go there without jobs or a place to live? That's nuts, is really what they were saying. Sort of subtext, right? Not too many people said it out loud, but... You know, what about you've got friends and family and community here? And so, of course, all these considerations had been taken place inside of us and within our relationship. And we had already moved those mountains. We had those mountains, but we had already moved them. And so I could be in this place of total knowing in my heart and complete faith, standing on that strong foundation to tell people, that's none of my business. The how is none of my business, because Spirit will show us the way. So sometimes it's a process, right? I think almost always it's a process for us to get to that place. So being gentle with ourselves, being kind with ourselves, being generous with ourselves, giving ourselves space so that we can take the walk from my unbelief to my belief to my faith. To that knowing in my heart, that unshakable place. That's the journey that I think we're all on. And it's so important that we start there, that we lay this foundation there before we say, oh yeah, there's an aspect of prosperity and here's another. Because if we build it on this sort of rocky foundation, it's probably not going to be sustainable. So it's building this foundation that we are about. Has anybody ever heard of the Golden Key? Emmett Fox's Golden Key? It's an old school teaching, old school New Thought teaching. Emmett Fox said the golden key was basically this. You stop thinking about whatever it is that is troubling. So when a troubling thought comes up, when you're getting into that story and you're feeling sort of that heavier energy and you're disturbed, you stop and you turn and think about God instead. That's it. That's the golden key. He uses it as a verb. I'm going to golden key this situation. I'm going to golden key this person I'm having an issue with. And it can be as simple as the thoughts of the divine can be just, oh, something catches your eye. Oh, beautiful flowers. Look at those colors and beauty and texture. And suddenly I'm like in this reverie of my garden, right, that we went into in the meditation time. And so it's a shift. It's like you could think of training your mind in a way like a child who's, you know, getting into stuff you don't want them to get into, or a puppy that's chewing things, you know, and you divert attention, right? That's our technique. And so it's kind of the same thing, but we're diverting our attention to the good. We're diverting our attention to the thing that we want. We're diverting our attention to come into connection and that feeling energy with the divine. And that will bring us to where we want to go. So when we practice this, it seems like our problems will begin to sort of fade, maybe even completely melt away, and more pleasant things will fill our minds, putting us in a more prosperous energy and vibration to attract more of that. This is classic New Thought teaching, right? So spiritual communities like ours are often called faith communities. And it's a curious thing to wonder why. So I think of this as an affirmation of what is faith about, right? A community of faith is a place in which we build our faith. A community of faith is a place in which we affirm our faith, where we make it stronger, where we come together with each other so that it sort of it exponentially grows our faith and our prosperity. It's a place that we act from that deep knowing in our hearts, where we support each other in following divine guidance. So in my experience inside that redwood tree, as I felt affirmed, I felt validated, some of my questions were really about Unity of Walnut Creek and our direction. And I felt this sense of reassurance. We are on the right track. We are on the right track as we rebuild our congregation post-pandemic. We are on the right track as we welcome in new people and we allow the new generation of folks to bring us to the next level, right? To take us to that next place that really meets the needs, the spiritual needs of people in new ways. We are on that frontier of new and exciting forms of ministry that maybe we haven't even yet imagined, but that new energy will bring the how into a place that is steeped in strong roots. People who have been here for decades have been serving and giving of themselves and giving of their financial resources to make this community the strong community that it is. I am so grateful to so many of you who have just, you love this place so much and you have given so much of yourselves and your service and your tithes to make it the place that it is. And so that grounding, that anchoring, that gratitude that we have for the people who have been here so long holding and lighting that torch, we have to say yes to the new people. Come on in, because we need that new energy too. And we need to let the wisdom keepers do their thing, right? The mentorship of the next generation. So we are on that precipice of these two intermixing and the welcoming. And I hope the new people that come will test us. I hope they will test our mission to say, are you truly loving and inclusive? Because as a community, if we are truly loving and inclusive and we are raised up higher to a new level of that, we will welcome new folks in a whole different way. And I hope the new people will help us then to step in and to serve beside us so that we can grow into whatever it is that's next for us. It's an exciting time. It really is an exciting time. There is a sense of freshness. There is a sense of rebuilding and not completely recreating, but allowing some of that new energy to come in too. So what we do know, I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is the divine is not done with Unity of Walnut Creek yet, right? And there is great divine potential that we are tapping here together, the new possibilities that we might go into, the new ways that we might shift into delightful forms and beingness together. So as we join together and are strengthened and diversified together, we will expand and live our divinity together. That's our prosperity in action. Our entire faith community is made up of each member, right? Each individual spiritual journey, each individual on their own process to move from unbelief to belief to the knowing in their hearts, this place of strength. So what do you know in your heart for yourself? What do you know in you about yourself that is prosperous and good? You start from that place, right? And then we expand out from that place. So as we inquire within, we can write it out, we can speak it, we can script our lives or script our into the prosperous expansion that we want to be individually, and that spills out into our collective community. And then the collective community is here to support us. So it's that whole movement of individual and community together. We hold the golden keys to our prosperity. We hold them here in our hearts. And so all we need to do is open it up, right? Turn the key, so to speak, and step in to that new dwelling of prosperity that we build or rebuild. And we step in from that place where we're building that strong foundation that prospers us. So let's put our faith into action. Let's give of ourselves and give of our resources and listen and follow guidance. There is much to be done. And as we do it, we will be prospered. So are you ready? You ready for the journey over these next few weeks? This week especially, we're going to work that foundation of faith, really strengthening that place. Let's say our affirmation together to kick off our week's activities. Together, I am building my prosperity on a strong foundation of faith. And so it is.